Derek Tidmarsh and I, Alistair Adams, are now in Cinderford, just about to talk to John Lewis. It's the 20th of March, 2017. So the first thing we usually ask John is, why did you go to work at Fieldings?
Led into it right. By my father. My father at Wolves worked in the pits, and then when the pits shut, he went to Mitchell Dean, to Bellin Howell as it was then, and he would never let me go there because it was a rat race.
All right, yeah.
So brother-in-law was John Davis.
Yes.
So the hint was, why don't you try there? So and went there and got the job.
Yeah,
that's the only job I ever went for.
So you went there as an apprentice?
I went there as an apprentice.
At the age of?
17.
17, wow.
Or 16, I guess. Probably 16, yes.
Yeah.
16, well, 17 in November.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nearly 17, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you were quite an old recruit.
Yeah, well, because I was November, you see, yeah. I was a year behind everybody else.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I had a year more knowledge than everybody else.
So, you obviously went into craft school.
I did.
And was it Bert Ravenhill?
Bert Ravenhill and Gerald Williams.
Right. And what did you work on in there? What did you think of it, really?
Well, it was all a bit of an eye-opener. I'd never played around with metal before. The only thing I'd ever built was plastic kits and Borsa kits, right?
Yeah.
My belief being that at 17 years of age, you don't know what career path you want. I don't believe you know your career path until you're in your 20s. But anyway, so I never put a boiler suit on before.
Or toe-tectors in that case.
Or toe-tectors. Bert Ravenhill's first words were, you know those trees that are in Southcote Street? Yes. He said, do you know what they're there for? No. He said, they're to tie you foresters to get you used to the traffic. That was his opening move. But he was a brilliant guy. Yeah. Of course, Gerald was a forester as well, so we got on well.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
I think he originated from Rordine. Oh. Or had relatives in Rordine, I don't know which.
Yeah.
Of course, and that first challenge was the block.
Yes.
That 2-inch block, make it 1¾ in all faces and flat.
Yeah.
Never used hammer and chisel before. Never used a file of any description.
Have you still got scars where your hammer might have missed?
I probably have got odd-shaped thumbs, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I think most of us have those sort of problems, yes.
But you were always taught, hold the chisel with 3 fingers, right, and leave your forefinger and your thumb slack. So if you did miss, your skin wasn't tight, so you wouldn't break the skin.
Can't remember that bit. That's a good tip. Yeah. Of course, these days they have these namby pamby
rubber grate guard.
Yeah,
on it,
with
yes.
a big plastic guard on it. And it's just not a problem.
I have one in the garage.
yeah. So you went through the craft school.
Yeah. One other thing I always remember is the shaper in the craft school.
Yes.
Used to set up harmonic motion in the building, and the whole building would.
I'd forgotten about that one.
Go into the motions of the shaper.
Yeah.
Nobody thought about turning it around the other way.
Yeah. That's. I can't remember that. Mm. Maybe we haven't got the same speed on that you had. I don't know.
Well, that I don't know.
No. It's getting a bit technical, isn't it? So you went through the craft school, as quite a lot of us did, and
enrolled at the tech. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
On craft courses to start with. Some of the lessons were in the craft school. Also did first aid training in the craft school.
That's true. Yeah. So what did you think of tech? What?
It was an eye opener.
Do you mean?
Of course, with all apprentices from all the different factories around Gloucester, you got to meet quite a few characters,
and
there were some characters there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were situated at Spa Road.
In the wooden sheds. In the old, yes.
Yeah.
And all the machine tools were working on wooden floors, I think,
that's
really,
right.
weren't they?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that... do you realise that those buildings have been condemned? And they used to be the Ribston Hall High School, that was. And it was condemned, and they moved all the girls out to their new place up Stroud Road, and but it was okay for us engineers to go into because we didn't matter as much.
That's right, exactly, yeah.
Oh dear. Okay, so after the craft school, what do you do then, John?
Well, we had to do our I don't know, it was 3 months or 6 months in each department. I think it was 6 months.
It should have been 6 months, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so it was fitting shops, inspection, pipe shop.
Wow.
Light machine shop.
You did all these, did
you? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I can't repeat on here the words that Regcourt used to use.
No, well...
He would always come in, he'd come up behind you and dig his chin into your shoulder and say, "What the hell are you doing?" Right, and then just whop all the speeds up and rip it through like when we were frightened to death of doing anything like that.
Yeah, yes. He was a very clever bloke.
He was.
He knew his stuff, there's no doubt.
His language was choice.
Yeah. You're not the first one to mention that.
But,
but
a decent bloke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, so... But you did all those departments. Can you remember any details about what you actually did in those departments? What jobs were you working on, anything like
that? One of my first memories was with Johnny Browning.
Oh, yeah.
I was still in the craft school, and there was a Dunlop Rankin Pratt & Press down in Hydraulic 1, and he had to check the parallelism of the two tables.
Because he was in inspection, wasn't
he? He was in inspection, yeah. And what it involved, I think the bed was about 30 feet long.
Wow.
And about 18 feet wide.
Yeah.
And it involved putting strips of lead at 1 foot intervals down there.
Wow.
Bring it under pressure, all right, and then measure the lead.
Yeah.
And all I can remember, there was a 36th run out over the 36 feet.
Wow.
I thought, under that, wobbly rams, I thought that was quite impressive.
That is very impressive. Yeah. Well, we did do some quite good kit, didn't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So, okay, so what are the...
I can remember the pipe shop.
Yeah.
Did you ever...
No, I didn't.
Entertaining. How tall are you? 5'9". You ain't. You're only 5'6". We'll measure you. Right. And a plank came out. Right. And they stand up straight, and then somebody at the back of it.
Oh, yeah.
With a sledge. And you end up getting knocked out.
You were actually out, were you?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Crikey.
And also, there was a... you know the big slab that was in the welding shop,
yeah,
which just came from Krupps in Germany.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, that came from Krupps.
Yeah,
it was a quarter of a bed of a machine.
Wow!
But there was a little bit of it in the pipe shop as well, and they used to dog the pipes down on there with a bent bar,
yeah,
2-inch bar into the hole in it. And really, they'd do that because Reg Chamberlain was it Ray Chamberlain was he used to have nervous breakdowns, or he used to have quite a bit of time off with illness.
Health
or whatever.
Sort of thing, yeah.
And of course, the guys in charge are Arthur Rigby and one thing, you know. And if he was a little bit cheeky, they'd dog you down to the table. Right? Rear toe caps with the dog on one on the other, stretched apart, and then just walk off and leave you for a couple of hours. So. It was it was all part of the grown-up phase.
Yes, yeah, yes. It sounds like
but
it.
But a brilliant place to work.
Yeah.
Absolutely
brilliant. Yeah.
You never did the same thing twice.
No, that's the point, yeah. So
except for working, if you're up with Albert Grendel or someone like that, you know, doing pumps day in, day out, but...
You got into there, did you? You did...
I had a spell with Albert,
in the valve bay.
I mean, that was entertaining, that was, because... I mean, the guy, people used to ring up with problems on A2 pumps.
Yeah.
And ask for Albert to go to the phone.
Oh, right.
And he would listen to the pump.
Oh, crikey.
And know what was wrong with it.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
Mm.
That is clever.
Yeah.
Oh, crikey.
He was quite a clever guy.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew his stuff on A2s, yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fiddly little valves you had to do.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and Pete Sutton was in charge of the shop then.
He was.
And the two bearings off the end of the main shaft in the A2, it was about, 8-9 inch bearing. to clean them out in that paraffin. Remember the atomizer?
Well, that wasn't necessarily paraffin.
There was a paraffin atomizer.
There was a paraffin, but there was also the, what was the other one that could knock you out?
Oh, trike.
The trike tank. Yeah. That was not health and safety. These days you couldn't use it.
when the rams used to come in for the extrusion presses, right?
Yeah.
They were covered in grease.
Yeah.
Wrapped in sacking, and then wooden paling around the outside, right? Mm. And the first job we had to do, take the paling off, take the sacking off, go and get a bucket of trike, and wash them off.
Yeah.
Bare hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Now there's a health and safety problem.
It's
been banned off all shop floors.
I mean, these days that would be the latest word for it is carcinogenic.
Absolutely.
I
was going to use the word, but
yes, it's a good word, but not. I can remember you used to have to if you're going to wash something off in the trike bath, everybody was saying, "Don't stand there too long." You know,
I can't remember that trike bath, but I can remember the atomizer.
Because
you used to wash the bearings out, then wind them up on with the airline,
right,
and then let them go. And Pete Sutton's ears were attuned to them, right? And he was just about getting up to maximum speed, and round the corner he'd come. What are you doing?
He was foreman when I was in there. Yeah.
And he had that automatic watch, and he was always doing this, winding his watch up. Things you remember.
It is, yeah. So, did you work on the stone plants?
Yes, I did.
Right.
Yes.
Did you ever go out on site?
I did. Only once. That was down to Exeter with...
Oh, John Willis, no?
Yes, John Willis.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. And we couldn't find it. It was down to Exeter.
Yeah.
And then we had a police after us because we were driving around late at night trying to find this place.
In a Fielding's van, presumably.
So, yeah, I didn't get out and about much. I did manage to get to Ireland with an accumulator system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then we had to go and fix a stone plant while we were out there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that used to happen, didn't it? You'd be on site doing something and then there'd be a phone call come through and you'd have to hop off somewhere else.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Used to happen. So, how many stone plants do you reckon you got involved in? I mean, who were you actually working with on those apprentice?
Pete Wood.
Yeah. Keith Williams?
Yes. Waggy when he was there?
Yes, yeah. He was away a lot, yeah.
Bob Webb?
Yes, yeah.
And who was the Welsh guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Worked on the benches, doing the H3s. I've seen him, he's been to, I've seen him once since.
I don't know who that could be.
Was he Taffy or I don't know? I
know. That reminds me of John Willis, but it
not John Willis. No.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I only scraped one set of bearings in for an H3. Then I had to go on site somewhere, and so it was started up along with another one on the test bed at the top of the shop there. Mine was the one that seized up.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. While I was away, I didn't. They didn't let me get over that.
But I went to Ireland with an accumulator system, and that was with Pete Wood.
Yeah.
To Ballymena, it's a Michelin plant.
Oh, right.
And the build, massive building, and everything was on plinths, 6 feet up. So all the pipework could go under the floor, and they would check a plate afterwards. Mm. So we were working, and I tore those bottles about 15 feet.
Yeah, yes.
Right. I spent 3 or 4 days working on a girder, right? 4-inch wide girder, up in the air. And then we went to drop the one pipe on, other one, and it wouldn't fit because there was a girder in the way, a roof girder.
Ooh.
So Woody gets on the phone, and there was nowhere in Ireland that could bend it.
Right.
So we had to put it back into the van and bring it all the way back to Gloucester.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah. And about a week later, all the troubles brew up in Ireland.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to go out again.
Yeah.
It was only the journeyman could go out.
Yeah. So, and that was to refit the pipe, presumably. Yeah,
well, and finish the job off,
yeah.
Just all went to pieces, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So politics.
Woody used to take me over to Ballymena Rugby Club every night.
Mm.
And we actually met Willie John McBride in there.
Oh, right.
Yes, because he was a Ballymena man.
Was he?
Yeah.
The I worked on site with Pete Wood as well. Nice bloke, great bloke.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. He, yeah. You know, he's
On a couple of months ago. I wasn't about at the time.
He spent a lot of time at Doughty's as well. Yeah. He worked at Doughty's for years. I used to see him cycling to Doughty's.
Yeah?
Often. He never spotted me because I was driving the opposite direction. But yeah. Mm. Yeah, nice chap. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. For the first 3 months of my apprenticeship, I rode my bicycle from here to Gloucester.
Right.
And back again. I was fit then.
You were very fit then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd spent a lot of time on racing bikes. One thing or another.
Oh, right.
Hmm.